Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we meditate on the Word of God from our gospel lesson from Mark chapter 4, the account of Jesus calming the storm. Since we just heard it, I'll just repeat a short section of it. The disciples woke Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we're drowning?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." This is the word of our God. We pray, Lord, open our eyes that we may see wonderful things in your word. Amen. Dear friends, fellow saints of God, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Have you ever caught Jesus lying down on the job? You know what I mean? Maybe it's something that you see in the news, a disaster, a problem, a tragedy that happens that makes your heart say, "Where was God when that happened? How could God let that happen? Doesn't he care?" Or maybe something a little more personal. When tragedy strikes you personally. Bad news from the doctor. A cherished relationship that just seems to be crumbling. Too many bills to pay and seemingly no way out. Troubles happen in our lives, and when they do, and especially when they seem overwhelming, it's very easy for us to look up and say, where is God? What is Jesus doing? Why isn't he taking care of this? Don't you care? Aren't you paying attention here? And the devil starts gnawing away at us with those doubts of either God really isn't there or he just doesn't care about you. Today we see the disciples having that same kind of response to a desperate situation. You know the story. They were sailing across the lake in a boat and a huge storm came up and the boat was filling with water. They were goners. It seemed like there was no way out. And Jesus was lying down. He was sleeping in the boat. And we can certainly understand their reaction. "Lord, don't you care that we're drowning?" Things that you notice that the disciples assume about the situation. Assumption number one, since Jesus is allowing this to happen, he doesn't care. How often don't we make that same assumption? Jesus is letting this happen, therefore he doesn't care. So we can understand where the disciples are coming from. And assumption number two, there's no way out. They don't say, "We might drown," or, "You know, this could turn out bad." They said, "We're drowning, we're perishing, we're gonna die." It was a foregone conclusion to them that they weren't gonna make it out of this, that Jesus couldn't help. And again, how often when we're in trouble do we make the same assumption? That there's no way out and Jesus can't possibly help us in this situation. We feel that the situation is too great of a problem for us, too great of a problem for Jesus. If anything, the problem is that Jesus doesn't care in our minds. We can learn a lot from the way that Jesus responds to his disciples about how we really can feel when we're in trouble and in distress and disaster happens. That instead of making false assumptions and thinking that Jesus doesn't care or that he can't help, instead, trust Jesus to get you through the storm. Because, as we see, storms are no problem for Jesus. The real problem and the thing that causes us so much pain and distress in those kinds of situations is our lack of faith. I think whenever we face a tough situation in our lives, the first false assumption that we need to challenge is the assumption we often have that it's God's job to keep all problems out of our life and to make our lives easy and problem-free. And honestly, if that's the assumption we make, no wonder we often feel that God is lying down on the job. Well, the problem isn't with God, the problem's with our assumption. Our assumption that God is going to make our lives easy now that we believe in him. God never promises that. In fact, just the opposite. God tells us, Jesus himself says, in this world you will have trouble. So when trouble happens in our lives, we shouldn't act surprised by it as though this was different than what God told us was going to happen. One time that this was brought out in my life, we heard a sermon on this very text from Mark when my family was on vacation up in northern Wisconsin, up in the North Woods. And after going home from church that day, we went out on a walk in the woods. And as we were walking away from the cabin up north, we heard some rustling in the bushes as we were walking by and thought, some kind of animal, maybe a bear. They have brown bears and black bears up there. And sure enough, as we were walking back towards the house, the only way back, I should mention, there he was, standing right in the middle of the road looking at us, a bear. Now what? We can't go forward. And the bear was, you know, at least from our perspective, it seemed like it was kind of staring us down. And there we were with our stroller and our little kids around, you know, what do we do? And it was a very appropriate time to think back to the sermon we had heard. Jesus is with us. Jesus will get us through. And it was true. Eventually the bear just ran off and we made it home safe and everything was fine. But it was, you know, I would have rather had everything be nice and uneventful on the way back. But God allowed the bear to be there in our path that day, and we learned a good lesson about trusting Jesus from it. And it was the same thing with the disciples. They may have thought, well, as long as Jesus was with us, no storms are ever going to happen while we're sailing. But Jesus let the storm come. And they and we learned a very valuable lesson from it. Again, God doesn't promise that storms are never going to come into our lives. Whether it's literal storms like the disciples or we heard the Apostle Paul experienced, or figurative storms, disaster and trouble and hardship in our lives, God doesn't promise that our lives are going to be free of those things. And if we assume that it's his job to keep all of those out of our lives, we're always going to be disappointed. But God also wants us to realize that storms, literal and figurative, are not a problem for him. You can kind of understand where the disciples were coming from, sitting in the boat thinking they were going to die. But quite simply, they forgot who was with them. This is Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus simply got up and said, "Hey, knock it off." And it was all over. This is Jesus we're talking about. Jesus has the power to handle any storm in our life. And so, why do we worry so much? Often it's because we forget who's with us and who he really is. Jesus is, first of all, the eternal Son of God, with the Father from eternity, creator of the world with the Father and the Holy Spirit, has power over all things in heaven and earth. He is the creator. He is the one who made us. He is the one who arranged where and when we would live. He is the one who gave us our family, our abilities, our possessions, and everything else that we have. Nothing can happen to us without him giving the okay. When there are storms in our lives, it's not without his permission. But there's more to remember about Jesus. Even more so, Jesus is the one who came to the world and became a human being to save us from our sin. Not only to go through storms together with us, but to suffer the greatest suffering, the punishment of our sin, so that we would not have to. Jesus saved us from eternal trouble and suffering, suffering that we had deserved by our sin, suffering that would have been ours if Jesus had not stepped in and intervened. Jesus has the power to do much greater things than to stop a storm. He has power over sin and death and hell itself. He willingly suffered on the cross to take away all of your sins so that God sees you as perfect and holy in his sight. Your relationship with God has been restored through him. And that means that we have peace. Not only earthly peace, but the peace of knowing that we have a God who loves us. And much more than that, Jesus himself, after suffering death, rose from the dead. He proved his power. We don't have to wonder if Jesus is just some guy who lived long ago that there's a bunch of stories about. Jesus proved his power by rising from the dead, and this was witnessed and is passed on to us. And this one who has power over even death itself will give eternal life to us. And my friends, that's the one who's with you. The one who not only has all power, but also loves you so dearly that he died to give you eternal life. He's the one who is with you. The storm and trouble in your life is no problem for him. Yes, he may let it come, just as he let it come to the disciples. But it's not a problem. Not a problem for Jesus. The real problem that Jesus points out in us is our lack of faith. That's what causes so much pain and suffering and anguish in our minds and all the wondering and doubt. It's our lack of faith. After Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves, he says to his disciples, "Why are you still so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" See, the disciples were looking at things only from an earthly point of view. They saw the wind, they saw the waves, they saw the boat filling with water, they saw their feeble efforts to bail out were just not going to be enough and the boat was going to go down. They saw all of those earthly things. And they saw Jesus sleeping. But when they looked at Jesus, they forgot who he was. They didn't see the Son of God. They didn't see the Savior who loved them and who had all power. And so Jesus says, do you still have no faith? See, I'm sure the disciples, if you would have asked any one of them, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe Jesus in the Savior? I'm sure they would have said, yes. Peter, for example, said it many times, you're the Christ, the Son of God. But their hearts weren't where their mouths were when it came to their faith. Now that the storm was there, when push came to shove, then it was harder to really back up what they believed by showing it in their actions. You could even see it in their reaction to Jesus' miracle. They say, who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him. Well, didn't they already know? Didn't they already confess their faith in Jesus? And that's a reminder to us that our faith in Jesus, certainly it is something that we confess boldly with our mouths. But it's more than that. It's more than just giving the right answers in confirmation class or saying, yes, I believe. It goes deeper into our hearts. And it's those times when push comes to shove, when tragedy strikes, when there's trouble, when things seem to be crumbling apart in our lives, that's when our faith is really put on display, when our trust in Christ is really shown. And that day, the disciples learned an important lesson. As much as they talked about their faith in Jesus, they still had a long way to grow in their faith. And I'm sure that you, like me, may find the same thing on many occasions. It's easy for me to say, yes, I trust in Jesus. Yes, I believe in Jesus as my Savior. But, you know, when we say that there's no way out of this one, or where is Jesus? Why isn't he paying attention? Or I'm doomed. I'm really showing that I have a long way to grow in my faith as well. But the way that Jesus reacts is still instructive to us. Because, yes, Jesus rebukes his disciples for their lack of faith, but he doesn't want them to give up hope, but to grow in their faith. And it's the same way for us. When our lack of faith is revealed, we may be tempted to say, yeah, I knew it. I'm such a doubter. I have such a weak faith. I might as well give up on this whole believing in Jesus thing. No. Jesus points out our lack of faith so that we stop looking at ourselves, so that we stop looking at only the things that we can see and listen to his promises. And see him and focus on him. Because that's where our faith is. Our faith isn't amazing because we're so good at believing. The truth is, we're not very good at believing. We're full of doubt and we're full of weakness. But faith does amazing things because it connects us with Jesus. And Jesus is powerful. And Jesus is loving. And he will not let us down. Don't give up on your faith when you feel doubt or you're wondering if God is really there or paying attention. Listen to his promises. See who Jesus is. And know that your troubles and problems are no problem for him. And sometimes, I know it's true, it may seem like the evidence is against it. It may seem like God isn't paying attention. It may seem like God will never help us. But God has given us the evidence in the blood of Jesus shed on the cross on Calvary that showed the wondrous love of God for us. and the empty tomb of Jesus that shows the saving power of God once and for all. When disaster strikes, it's easy to think that God is lying down on the job. But he's not. The problem is in our perception and our assumptions. God is there. God does care. He loves us, and he has the power to help. And he also has the ultimate goal in mind for us. Through all the earthly problems and struggles and troubles, ultimately, he will bring us to eternal life. And there we will have full deliverance from every storm in life. But for now, Jesus calls on us to trust in him. Trust in Jesus to get you through the storm. Amen.